Hello and welcome to The World of Duotone with me, your host, Toby Bromwich. Today we are joined by one of female's most dominant athletes. In this episode, we talk to her about capturing her ninth world title, her comeback from injury last year, and the level of women's kiteboarding right now. So I'm excited to have her joining us in studio. Welcome to the podcast, Mika Sol. Let's get into it. Hello, Mika, and welcome to the podcast. It's been a couple of days now since you won the title and the event in Mykonos. How is it sinking in now?
To be honest, I'm so happy. The event in Mykonos was everything I could wish for. It was honestly such an amazing experience because with the funding and everything, they really made a super epic competition. I think it was one of the best competitions, if not the best competition I've participated in. So yeah, the win just felt a bit more like meaningful just because of the amount of energy and support and effort that the people on the beach and the people supporting and funding it put into it. So it was really cool.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah, it's always great when they have an event with good conditions. How does this one rank amongst the nine that you've had? This is like your ninth world title. Where does this one sit for you?
Yeah, my ninth world title. I don't know exactly where it sits. I think every single one of them is special in some way. I think this one is just meaningful because I didn't have the greatest start of the year. I mean, I took second, you know, it wasn't really ideal, but being able to put myself back together and really like fight for that first place and being able to maintain my world title again, like consecutively. I think I've won the world title last year and this year, so that marks two. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty epic. I'm super stoked. And I think it's a different feeling this time because I think I was really just enjoying myself on the water. I was having a lot of fun and I wasn't seeing it as like competition. I was really just going in and trying to do my best because I wanted to be there and I wanted to show what I could do and how I've improved. So I think it ranks amongst the top three.
And how has the outreach been from friends, family? What are some of the meaningful messages that sort of stand out to you that you've received during this time?
I think everyone's just proud, you know, nine world titles. It's a lot at 21. It's quite a lot to have. I mean, I'm not stopping now, but it's really cool. I think everyone is very supportive and just like edging me on to like win more and do more and just really giving me all of the support I need to feel like I should be competing and I deserve to be on top.
That's great. So the first event, let's go back a little bit. The first event in Bucharest, the conditions were super extreme. And actually before that, you were even dealing with an injury. Is that right? Can you tell us a little bit about your previous season leading up to this year's events?
Yeah, so I came into Bucharest not feeling the most confident, let's say. I wasn't really training loops. I was more focused on just air style and kind of getting back into the flow of things because before then, I have two hernias in my back and it's not the greatest thing to have. So I was really taking it slow. That's why I didn't participate in Queen of the Air. And yeah, I mean, it was a bit difficult for me to take a step back and take things slow, but I think in the end, leading up to it, I knew I could do well, but I think the major factor of me not winning Bucharest was just the environment itself, like the weather. It was super cold. It was very grim. And I mean, it's France, you know, France in April, it's freezing. It was like, I remember I looked at my phone and it was like -7 degrees, like feeling like wind chill or something like that. But it was insanely cold. And it was just very hard to be on the water without freezing or my hands were numb, everything. It was very difficult. And I think leading up to the final, it just took so long. That heat was so hard because I think it was quite a while. And I just kind of wanted to get things done. Like I wasn't as patient with the gusts. I think I could have done better if I would have like taken a step back, chilled and went for it. But I mean, I was kind of in a rush because I just wanted to get off the water. It was way too cold. But I mean, I'm still happy with the way things went. And in the end, it worked out for the best.
Yeah, I mean, second is obviously a solid result. It's funny that you kind of say that that's a bit of a disappointing result. But yeah, I mean, that's a great base, especially on a two, you know, a two event world championship. The conditions were super extreme there. How did you strategize for that? I mean, were you still feeling it from your back? People were having problems, like even holding down 5 meters. Tell us a little bit about those heat conditions and a little bit of your mindset and your strategy going into that event.
I didn't really have a strategy going into that event, and the wind was super extreme. Not as extreme as the year before that, but I think I got quite lucky during my heats. The wind was always a bit lighter, while as other girls, they had really, really strong wind conditions. But yeah, I mean, like I said before, I wasn't really training loops. I went in, I think the first loops that I did before the event was like in August. Maybe I had like one day in Cape Town where I looped, but I wasn't really training. I wasn't that prepared. But I think just being such a competitive person and being so focused and in my zone when I'm competing really helped me just like pull things together and just do what I had to do, because it's like in me, it's in my blood. You know, I've done it for so long that I just went into like a auto gear, you know, I just went into automatic shift. Like I just went for it.
Well, I mean, you seem to be the one to beat in all of these contests that you enter. How is the level overall? And, you know, do you feel obviously it's evolving, everyone's improving. It's interesting that you didn't feel too much pressure on this one. I guess you were going to just sort of see how it went with your injury, but and how you did after the first one. But how is it with the level of the girls now, and how does that affect, you know, how you're training?
The level of the girls is increasing substantially compared to the years before. I think Aya and Francesca, Natalie, they're all pushing it so much, and I think that motivates me to want to be better and to do like be a step ahead. You know, I always have that thing where I just want to do more. But yeah, I mean, in the end, I didn't really feel that much pressure, because I mean, win or lose, I just wanted to have fun on the water and just do the tricks that I could do, because I knew that if I did my best tricks, I would probably win. So I think that was it. It wasn't really, oh, I need to do this because I need to prove something. I had 8 world titles at the time, right? A week ago. And yeah, I mean, I didn't really have that sensation of, oh, I need to prove to people that I am the best, because I think it showed during the competition that I just laid down the tricks, I put down the scores, and it spoke for itself.
Well, talk us through Mykonos. That was obviously a different spot and with different challenges to Bakares. How did that spot suit your style? And just talk about your vibes and how you were feeling during the event coming into that one.
Bakares and Mykonos are such different spots. Bakares is flat, you know, the wind is pretty gusty, but it's like strong gusty, like it'll lift you up. Mykonos is onshore, you know, it's super choppy. It's pretty difficult. But we got really lucky with the conditions. I've been coming there for 3 years in a row, and I think this year was the only year where we actually got like really nice, steady, not so gusty winds. So I think that was a big plus. But I was going into the event, and I really wanted to win this one. I went on the 6th of June, you know, super early, just trying to get as much training in as possible, especially since I was training in Tarifa before then, where you can't really bring the things you do in Balneario and think that you're going to get to a spot like Mykonos and do them right off the bat. Like, it's a place where you really need to go, you need to learn to chop, you need to learn how to pop. Not learn how to pop, but, like, be in the zone there and really feel the environment, because Balneario in a sense is like it's a gym, you know, you go there and it's amazing, everything's perfect, you have the perfect kicker, you have the perfect wind, and it's just easy. But taking that and converting it to the conditions in Mykonos, it really takes a different route in a sense, you know, like you have to be more focused, the gust, you have to read the gust, you have to find the right kicker. So I think going there before really helped me like settle in and feel comfortable.
Yeah, the conditions there are like onshore with some like rolling kickers, it looks like. Was that kind of on your favored side, or you're pretty good on both sides takeoff, or like how is the landings? The landings must have been a bit more challenging.
I just learned how to jump to the left, because I was primarily right for basically my entire career, except for freestyle, where I jumped to both sides. But yeah, I mean, to the right, it was pretty nice. Like, the direction was favoring the right, I think. I mean, for me, I maybe it wasn't, maybe it was good to the left too, but I primarily was jumping only right. I think in the final I did two jumps to the left. But yeah, the landings and everything, the takeoff and the landings are the worst parts. It's like once you're in the air, once you get a good takeoff and you're just there, you can do whatever you want because the wind is generally okay. But yeah, I mean, I think the conditions were tough but manageable.
Okay, and looking back through your heats and when you're on the water, what was the moment that you kind of, well, or was there a moment that you knew when you kind of clinched the title? And sort of what moment was that?
No, not really. I didn't know. I mean, the last, like, I was last to jump in the heat, so that's always good. It's always good to be last to jump because then you have the 100% certainty that you won. And I love that, like just being able to be the last one and see what everyone else does and kind of go from there. But yeah, Aya was absolutely killing it on the water. There was a moment there where I was like, oh, these young guns, like I'm not the young one anymore, it's kind of strange. But yeah, it was a fun heat, to watch her out in the water sending it and just shredding. Her level has improved so much, especially training with Nico and everything. I think her mindset and everything in general is really up there. So yeah, in the final, I was definitely at some points like, oh, okay, I really gotta step this up. And yeah, by the last trick, she almost had me there. I wasn't riding the best. I wasn't finding the chops. I wasn't finding the gust in the final. I think I could have done substantially better, but it is what it is. But I'm just happy that the level's growing and I'm getting pushed to my limits, and it's really fun to feel that again, where it's like, wow, like the competition's catching up, and it's just nice because you have to go out there and you have to do your best to win.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah, and so talk to us about when you're coming off the water after that heat. How was the reaction? What was going through your mind at that moment? You must have obviously realized you'd won the title, I guess, from
I
the
mean,
scoreboards. Is that right?
yeah, we have the watches on the water, which are very helpful when they work, But yeah, I think already going to the beach, I knew I won. I saw the Brazilian flag, just super happy, really just, I think, a moment of bliss, just a moment of pure joy. And yeah, I mean, I went there, everyone congratulating me, and it's an amazing feeling. It's the best part of competing is coming back and seeing all the support and seeing all the people you love and care about on the beach. They're ready to hug you and just tell them you how proud they are of you. And it's amazing. It's a great feeling.
That's amazing. It sounds like a special moment. So you talk about trying to stay ahead of the competition. Let's go a little bit into that. Does that also bring added expectations or pressures on yourself to perform? And how do you sort of approach that when you're going in? Obviously, you have nine world titles now, nothing to prove. But yeah, how does your mindset approach that?
I take it as motivation. I don't really take it as like a stressful thing or like having to prove anything. I just take it as, okay, the level's here. I need to stay up here and I just need to do what I have to do. And it just brings out a whole new world of tricks and things that you can do because, when the level kind of stays stagnant, you're like, why should I? But now it's like, I have to. And that's the good thing. It just pushes you into a new area of kiting that you're just have to. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it just motivates you. Like, that motivates me so much, and it's just fun to be out there, and it's just nice to progress. When it's the best when you land a new trick and you have that feeling where you're like, wow, I actually did a trick I didn't know I could do, and I landed it, and now that's one of the tricks that I have in my pocket that I can do whenever.
Tell us a little bit about the judging criteria right now. What are they rewarding, and how is it in your view? Is that kind of the right way it should be going? Is it it's kind of a mix between power and extremity and technical difficulty. How is it looking right now?
In Mykonos, they were judging more height and kite angle, not necessarily technicality. So it doesn't favor me the most because I know I'm not one of the girls that goes the highest. Like, if you want height, you have Zara. Francesca goes pretty high. I think most people go a bit higher than me. I don't know. I think just because when I'm doing the technical things, I'm not trying to get the most amount of height, but I think that's just one thing that I have to just work on. So yeah, I mean, for now, I mean, technicality is my thing. I just like doing that. But I think I need to kind of work and improve the other side of it, just to stay up to base and just kind of keep progressing.
Yeah, it seems to be like a mix of maybe more veteran riders have that technicality side of it. It seems to be a real split between the riders in big air. Maybe some of them coming into it without having, say, a freestyle background. It used to be the opposite way around, where it was big air before freestyle. But you do see kind of kite control and consistency, I guess, is an experience. Would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, consistency and experience plays a huge role. But for example, like with the judging criteria, like Finn was doing all the new innovative things, the board flips, the twists, the spins, and just kind of trying to get as many rotations as possible. But he was lacking the height and the kite angle. And then there was Lorenzo, who was going super high, also doing a lot of technical things, but not as technical as Finn. But yet he was going higher, had a better kite angle, and he was just getting way higher scores. It doesn't go to say that like Finn is not as good as Lorenzo. It's just different, you know? So I think the way that they're pushing it is good, but I think they should kind of bring it all together, you know, because at one point it was doubles, one point it was singles, one point it was the rotations. And I think if you add it all together and just score the best rider, in a sense, that can do everything, that's the right way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it always seems to kind of go in ebbs and flows. It will lean towards one for one season and kind of come back to another the next. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it progresses. So this one was obviously the most prize money at any event you've been to, is that right? And hope you're going to treat yourself to something nice.
No, that goes straight into my savings, that stuff. You know, I haven't really been able to save so much, so that's going straight into the do not touch pile.
That's probably the smartest decision there. I guess that's a good sign, though, to show that, you know, the sport of big air is really growing in a popularity, that, you know, they're putting in additional prize money. So it looks pretty bright for the future of big air.
I really hope so. I mean, I know that in the past with the other tours, they would have maybe higher prize money. I'm not sure because I wasn't competing at the time. But yeah, I mean, I'm really glad that there's more money flowing in and everything into the event, and people are starting to take more appreciation of the sport. And yeah, I mean, it's really nice overall. Also, when you win, you're like, okay, at least I can pay for my trip, you know?
Yeah. Okay. And this is this was the first event back for Gisela Pulido, who's your teammate. She must have been an inspiration to you when you were coming up. How was it to compete with her? And do you train with her when you're back in Tarifa too?
I've had a few sessions with Gisela. I haven't really been so close to her. I mean, I looked up to her and to Bruno when I was younger, for sure. And it's great now to see that, like, when she's coming to compete, you know, she's scared of me now and not the other way around. You know, it's a nice feeling to see how I progress too. But no, she's good, you know. She's up there. She's trying her best. And I think with a bit more time, she'll definitely be one to face. And yeah, it's great to see her returning to the Twin Tip, you know, after foiling for so long. But I mean, Gisela Pulido, big name, 10 world titles, you know. I hope by next year I'll also have 10 world titles as well, and then we'll be sort of even. That would be pretty cool. And I mean, overall, it's just good to have a name like that back in the sport.
Yeah, that's great. That was actually going to be my next question. So the 10 world titles, that's something on your list to tick off. And how important are those sort of numbers? And is it your goal to try and be, you know, the most winning female in the sport of kiteboarding?
I mean, it's not necessarily a goal of mine, but it would be pretty cool. I mean, I think at the pace I'm at right now, it's looking pretty promising. I mean, I wouldn't want to compete until I'm like 40, but like, yeah, I mean, definitely kind of pushing into that direction. I mean, 10 titles, you know, but if I can get a few more, why not?
So, Miki, you're definitely the athlete in the women's division that everybody is chasing. What keeps you motivated and pushing? You mentioned that you like to be kind of ahead of the competition. Is it the titles? Is it the, you know, motivation to get that 10th one? Or what kind of motivates you to keep pushing and keep innovating after such a long time of doing the sport?
I think it's kind of everything put together, you know. Too much pushing is not good and not enough pushing is not good enough, you know. So I think just trying to keep a balance with having a lot of fun in the water and progressing and not staying stagnant, because I think that's the worst part is like when you're going for something and then you just can't seem to progress, that becomes like kind of like irritating and then you just lose that motivation. But if you're constantly progressing and you're constantly feeling some sort of pressure, but in a good way, like a fun way, we're like, wow, that girl did that, or he did that, or someone you look up to did something, and you're feeling like you can do that too. You know, you go into it and being like, if they can do it, why can't I? So I think that's what kind of keeps me motivated, is like looking at the guys, especially, and seeing how fast that their level's progressing. And I see these young boys doing the things that they're doing, and I'm like, why can't I do it too? So I think that's the major factor, not really the world titles or the competitions, just trying to prove to myself that I can also do those tricks. I think that's what it's my number one motivation, is just to kind of surprise myself on the water.
Okay. And would you say that you get kind of your inspiration? Is it you go more into innovation when you feel the need to, once the level steps up amongst the other women? Or you mentioned there, like when you see the guys do a trick, you want to do it? Or do you even draw inspiration from other sports? Like, would you say it's like ebbs and flows? Is there times where you're like, okay, I'm good, I can kind of just work with these tricks now? And is there times where you're like, okay, I need to step it up? Or how does that work? Or would you say it's like even trying to prove something to yourself that's motivates you?
I mean, there's definitely points where I'm like, okay, I definitely need to step it up. But I think mainly it's like, I found this flow of doing it without the loop and then doing it with the loop, you know. It's kind of like going through a situation where it doesn't hurt to crash, and then you feel comfortable enough to do it with the loop. Because in the end, if you do air style, yeah, it's a different technique and everything, and it's way less hard. Well, not less hard per se, but it's less scary, you know. It doesn't really feel like, oh, if I mess this up, it's really going to hurt, you know. So I think that's one thing of how I progress, is just like finding the balance of, okay, I feel confident enough, I have the level to do this, I have the basis of X and Y, so then I'm just going to put these two together and like make it like a really good trick.
Okay. And how do you see this discipline of big air seems to be trending right now? Are you still looking at freestyle, or are you kind of done with freestyle? And let's talk a little bit about that with longevity. How is big air compared to freestyle on your body throughout the years? Because freestyle can be quite grueling from all the back edges and crashes. So how do they compare?
Freestyle is definitely a lot more technical and a lot harder on your body. I mean, you're landing with zero line tension. Your goal is to keep the kite as low as possible and having that slack when you land. Big air is kind of the opposite. You know, it's technical. It's scary, but it's not like the risk versus reward. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but I think that big air, if you crash badly, you could seriously injure yourself. While as in freestyle, there's a lot of other, like, you're more likely to get hurt. You know, like if you land a certain way, your knee can twist. If you back edge, and I don't know, concussions and all these sorts of things. I think with big air, it's a lot easier on my body, just because I feel like I can control the kite, while as in freestyle, like, you control yourself, but like you never really know. You could drop, and that's what you want to do. You want to drop into it, you know, like you just want to hear that pop when you land on the water. So in big air, you always have the heli loops and all these things, so you can really like control your descent down. So I think they're both a bit scary, so to say, but in just different levels and different ways. But I definitely think that big air is a lot easier on my body, especially now, you know, with my back, my shoulders, my knees. I mean, at 21, I'm feeling it for sure. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd go back into freestyle, going back to your question, but yeah, it's a hard one. I definitely like big air. It's just there's so much progression to do. Also in freestyle there is, but it's a lot easier to feel satisfied. Freestyle, it's hardcore. You have to go for it, and you know you're going to take a lot of back edges before you land something, and that's just not the place where I want to be at the moment. I want something a bit easier, but still a feel-good, you know? It's like a feel-good discipline. Like, you can do something without feeling like, oh, I'm going to, like, black out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's it's a discipline that attracts most people to the sport initially, just the feeling of jumping. On the level I'm doing it at, it's fairly safe, and it's definitely exhilarating. So yeah, I can relate to that.
It goes throughout all of the categories, right? All the disciplines. It goes through strapless, big air, and freestyle. Strapless and freestyle are, I think, way harder to do technically than big air, you know, especially when you're learning and when you're trying to progress in the beginning. Because, you know, with big air, you have your boards attached to your feet. It's easy to bail out if you're going to crash. It doesn't hurt. And it's kind of easy to do those little step progressions. While as in, like, freestyle, like, it's very physical. It's hard to learn that rally to blind, or like even doing the change from rally to blind judge, you know, that little step can take so long for some people, you know. And also, if strapless, your feet aren't attached to your board, and that's just a whole different level of difficulty. So I think big air right now is kind of trending because people are seeing that they can also feel like they're progressing at the rate that they want to, and it's not as how do you say it? It's not as annoying, not annoying, but like, you know, when you're in the water and you just can't land something, and after a while you're like, you know what, I give up, I'm not doing this anymore. And I think with big air, you can just kind of switch and just be like, okay, I'm going to take it step by step and do that. I think in strapless and freestyle, there aren't really those step by steps because you really just get stuck at a level and it's really hard to take that second step up.
Yeah, I agree with that. So you could just do the trick, like you say, without a loop, without a contra loop or whatever, and just get the building blocks a lot easier. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So tell us, what does the next rest of the year and the next sort of chapter look like for you? What are your goals? What are your thoughts going forward for the rest of the year? And have you thought kind of what's next?
So what's next? Let's see. I mean, I know at the end of the year, there's Queen of the Year. Obviously, I'd love to join that event, you know. It's one that I haven't won yet, so it's definitely on my bucket list. But yeah, the year is kind of quite empty now after the season, with such a short season being only two stops, you know, unfortunately. But yeah, I think it's just kind of like progressing and just seeing how far I can take my level and kind of just sticking to that, not really focusing so much on competitions, but just on me personally in the water and trying to just really enjoy every session that I have and just getting back into like loving the sport as much as I can.
Awesome. And then how do your progression sessions work? I guess there's only so many spots you can ride where the wind is good enough to do the tricks you need. But back in the day, we used to see when the competition was getting heated between, you know, a couple of rivals, that people would try and hide what they were learning, what they were, their sessions. So like, is there any of that going on, or how is the vibe? I mean, you spend a lot of time in Tarifa, so everybody seems to be in, or a lot of people in one spot. So how does that work?
I mean, I don't really have that. If I have a good trick that I land and I have it on video, I'm going to post it. I mean, I know there's some people out there that are a bit secretive. I mean, the guys, it makes sense. You know, the level's progressing so much. Sometimes it's kind of good to keep a little something in your pocket, you know, up your sleeve. But with the women, it's just like, the more you post, the more, like, the more you progress, the more you post, the more you see other people doing more things. I think that just helps the level grow. So I think that's just kind of how I see it. I spent a lot of time in Tarifa, but now since it's starting the Brazil season, I think I'm going to head to Praia very shortly and kind of stay there because, you know, the wind's pumping every day and it's just nice to be able to go on the water and know that every single day there's conditions that you can kite, whether it's light, whether it's strong, and just be there and like full focus.
Awesome. And then for Queen of the Air this winter, how does the qualification, are you automatically qualified with this title, or how does that work?
No, I'm not qualified for Queen of the Air. I think it's top three are qualified, and then the rest have to do video entry. I think it's the same as with the men, they have to, it's top three, I don't know how the fleet is going to look either, because I know the past 2 years, since it's so new, they just added a women's division last year or year before last. So maybe it's six people, maybe they'll switch it to 12. I don't know how that's going to look, so it's going to kind of depend on that. But yeah, I think trying to, I don't know, just I'll put in a video and see if they accept me. They probably will. I hope so, but yeah.
It'd be silly not to. And would you then go, like, how much before the event would you go just to kind of like dial in the conditions? Or is prayer kind of a good spot to do everything you need?
It's kind of the opposite, Cape Town's left foot forward kickers, Brazil's right foot forward, so it's completely opposite wind directions. I don't know how, it depends on the wind, like Cape Town's kind of an uncertain, it's a uncertain spot. You never really know if the wind's going to fill in. You can have a really good year and then the next year can be really bad. So I think I'll go on forecast maybe a few days before, a week before, depending on if it's good. But that's all still up in the air. You can't really decide now when you're gonna go, because I wouldn't also want to go and be there, have there be no wind when it's pumping in Brazil.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Mika. And yeah, congratulations from everybody at Duotone on another incredible world title. It's been amazing to watch you. Thanks
Yeah,
a
thank
lot.
you.